All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you. I want to let you guys know that on Wednesday, TYT is going to be in Vegas. So is the Unity Reform Commission. They are going to be considering incredibly important issues like superdelegates, primaries versus caucuses. If you don't want the system to be rigged next time around, this is the time to do something about it. Go get your voice heard. So if it's going to be at Bally's in Vegas at 1 o'clock. But mainly go to tytnetwork.com/getupdates and we will text and email you exactly where our reporters are going to be and where you can go meet up with them and make a difference. Okay? All right, Anna, what do you got?
All right. There have been more and more stories pouring in regarding the scandal with Harvey Weinstein.
Sorry,
that sounded weird for some.
You know why? Because of Hurricane Harvey. I've now paused a couple of times. I'm like,
right.
Is it Harvey? Yes,
like,
it's definitely Harvey.
Weinstein. Okay, all right. Rose McGowan, who has been very vocal against Harvey Weinstein on Twitter, had her account temporarily suspended. And we found out about this after she posted about it on other social media sites like Instagram. Now, she received a message from Twitter telling her that she had violated their terms of service and that she would be locked out for 12 hours once she deleted certain tweets. So she would have to delete the tweets in question that apparently went against Twitter's guidelines and rules. And then 12 hours later, they would reinstate the account. Now, they apparently finally explained why it was that they had suspended her account, so I want to be clear about that. According to an official statement, they said, we have been in touch with Ms. McGowan's team. We want to explain that her account was temporarily locked because one of her tweets included a private phone number, which violates our terms of service. The tweet was removed and her account has been unlocked.
So in the meanwhile, people went nuts, and understandably so, because since they didn't get an explanation, they thought, are you kidding me? Are you saying that Rose McGowan's tweets about Harvey Weinstein is hurtful to him? I mean, what about Donald Trump's tweets? What about all the alt-right and neo-Nazi tweets? Now, to be fair to Twitter, they have taken some of those down, not Trump's. He's the president. I don't think we could take that down. But of course, when Milo and the trolls went after Leslie Jones, they eventually did ban him. And so, but I know why people were mad. I mean, we all get it, right? Because what Harvey Weinstein did was terrible. And if Rose McGowan is speaking out against that to shut her voice down would have been atrocious. But I actually think that Twitter's explanation is correct.
Yeah, look, I agree with you on that. Because, look, in the beginning, when we didn't know exactly why her account was suspended, I remember being outraged about that as well. Especially when you consider the amount of abuse that's on Twitter on a regular basis that goes unchecked, right? And it has been a common criticism toward Twitter. So to see that her account was suspended really made me raise my eyebrows as well. But you can't be, I don't care what your point is, you can't tweet out people's personal information. Just don't do it.
But you know what? I think she did it by accident. I think what she was doing was putting out this message, which you could argue was private to begin with, but under the circumstances, I think it might be understandable that she released it. And everybody has the right to do whatever they think is right. And I'm certainly not going to do a value judgment on whether she was right to release private messages. When she was sexually harassed by Weinstein back when she was 23 years old, I wasn't, so I have no opinion on that. I think she accidentally left a phone number on there and didn't realize it.
Okay.
That's my best guess. And then Twitter goes, hey, that's a phone number, that's doxing, you can't do that. Not that she did it maliciously necessarily, but you need either way, you can't do that. And that's right. And I've known other people who have accidentally put out phone numbers or information about somebody, and then it was blocked. And then once you take out that information, then it's no longer blocked.
Yeah, look, I'm not in her mind, so I don't know what her intent was with that particular tweet. I think that, you know, she should be able to speak out and do so as aggressively as she wants on Twitter. She has my full support on that. All I'm saying is people need to be careful when it comes to personal information. Even if it was done accidentally, just understand that you, especially as a person who has a large following, are potentially directing harassment toward others. And you just have to keep that in mind. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as we know, people do that very intentionally. Again, I don't know what Rose McGowan, what her intent was, but you just have to be careful.
Yeah, and so look, in the beginning people thought, well, maybe they're going after her because she's also calling out Bob Weinstein, who's Harvey Weinstein's brother and his partner in the Weinstein Company, and Ben Affleck and other powerful people for not doing enough. And she has every right to call out whoever she likes, agree, disagree. I don't know, I wouldn't have any basis to agree or disagree on those particular people. But so she, on that, we of course agree she has the right to do that. Just, you know, of course you can't include the phone number. But speaking of Bob Weinstein, let me just end on a weird note. TMZ, and take it for what it's worth, is reporting that Bob Weinstein, the brother, might have been the one that leaked to the New York Times. Mm-hmm. There's some serious drums there. And then Bob Weinstein wrote, this is a direct quote of his, so this is definitely true. My brother Harvey is obviously a very sick man. I urge him to seek immediate professional help because he's in dire need of it. His remorse and apologies to the victims of his abuse are hollow.
Whoa.
So he might have been doing that to cover his own ass and the company, etc. But that's, you know, appropriately harsh. Mm-hmm. But if he was the one that leaked it in the first place, Harvey Weinstein's done a lot of power plays in his life, and as we now found out, some of them atrocious, mm-hmm. right? Well, if he was a victim of a power play at the end, that seems quite fitting.
All right, well, there's another angle to this story that is upsetting, so let's get to that. Recently, Ronan Farrow uncovered more allegations against Harvey Weinstein, and of course, it involves sexual harassment, sexual assault, and in some cases, even rape. Now, it was a huge story that was recently published in The New Yorker, and now we're finding information based on employees that work on NBC that Ronan Farrow wasn't allowed to report that story or publish that story with NBC. In fact, there were executives that seemed to go out of their way to prevent publicizing that story. Now, let me give you the details on that. Now, Ronan had been told by executives at NBC News that he didn't have enough reporting to go on air with his Weinstein story, and that's according to four sources. And he had been told by the network to stop reporting on it. NBC tried to put a stop to the interview with the woman accusing Weinstein of rape. Now, if you guys have read Ronan Farrow's piece in The New Yorker, you'll know that there is a ton of detailed information there. It's like a 10-page piece with so many different details, so many different people that he interviewed and some who even spoke on record. So it's not all anonymous sources. And also his piece was the one that released the audio featuring the Filipina actress Gutierrez and the sting operation that was done on Weinstein through the NYPD. So that was all stuff that for some reason NBC decided did not want to cover. Now Ronan Farrow wound up paying out of his own pocket for a camera crew to film an interview. Also keep in mind that by April of this year, NBC News had two big scoops in its pocket, an on-record interview with McGowan, Rose McGowan, and an explosive audio of Weinstein admitting to sexual assault. But Farrow was told by multiple NBC News executives and producers that the reporting and interviews he had conducted weren't sufficient for a televised story.
Okay, so first of all, is it possible that your reporting would pass muster at one place, but not necessarily another? And the place that it doesn't pass muster doesn't mean that they're better journalists. It just might be different standards, etc. So just because the story didn't run doesn't mean that by definition it was true and there was a cover up. And sometimes they're right not to run a story because you just didn't have enough evidence and you don't want to make those charges without it. This is not one of those times.
This is not one of those times, no.
So first off, Yashar Ali and Lydia Paulgreen, who reported this for the Huffington Post, they themselves talked to 12 people inside and outside of NBC News. So their reporting on what happened internally is pretty rock solid. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that reporting, it's not pretty. So Anna's right that by April they had two giant scoops. Either one of those, if confirmed, would have been enough to run on their own. I mean, the audio tape that we ran for you guys yesterday that Ronan Farrow got in the first place of Weinstein trying to bring a woman into his hotel room and in the most creepy way. And he admits that he did grope her the day before. That's sexual assault that he admitted on tape.
That's right.
That's amazing. Of course you could run that story. Of course you can, right? Because you know that that's the tape. You had Rose McGowan, a very famous actress and now director as well, saying it on tape. Are you crazy? You're not going to run that? So, I mean, if it was just one person's accusation, but you had so much more than that. And by July, he had on-camera interviews, Ronan Farrow did, on-camera interviews with accusers and interviews with four female and male former Miramax and Weinstein Company executives. That's a bombshell, man.
Yeah.
And it's corroborated in 18 different ways. Eventually, the New Yorker that did run it for Ronan Farrow said it exemplified great investigative journalism.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of the most detailed investigative reports I've ever read. And it was impressive to say the least. Now, what was also interesting was that this particular story required much more scrutiny within NBC News or NBC than any other reporting or any other story needed. So, for instance, the story needed to be approved by executives who previously wouldn't have to approve any stories to begin with, including Andy Lack, who is the NBC News chairman, and Steve Burke. That's the Comcast VP executive and also the NBC Universal CEO, or NBC Universal CEO. So all of a sudden, there's this extra layer of scrutiny. And I want to be clear about something else. Remember, this whole story involving Weinstein first broke last week with the New York Times piece. And following the New York Times piece, ABC, CBS, major news networks covered it. But NBC didn't.
So it gets slightly worse. So first off, it's not crazy for a news story to go all the way to the top of the news chain, which is Andy Lack at NBC News. But if it was a story about someone who had no power, and you already had half a dozen sources, you had people on tape, you had a tape that came from the NYPD to begin with, mm-hmm. and you've got to corroborate it up and down, you wouldn't bother bringing it to Andy Lack. Why would you bring it to the very top of the news chain? You only have to do that if it's someone really, really powerful. And you go, look, I got to cover my ass. I'm going to bring this all the way up to Andy Lack. And now, but under no circumstances does it make sense to bring it to the CEO. I shouldn't say under no circumstances, but it makes you go, on a company as large as NBC Universal, as large as Comcast, with God knows how many employees, to bring it to a non-news person, you're obviously making a business decision there.
That's right, that's right.
So, and then they killed it. And by the way, it's not the only time NBC News has killed a giant story about sexual assault. They had the original grab him by the pussy tape of Donald Trump with Access Hollywood. They had it and they wouldn't run it. The Washington Post eventually ran it. So that's two different times, really powerful guys who did sexual harassment that NBC News spiked. Oh, that's devastating. Now, one more thing, NBC News president Noah Oppenheim gave this hilarious quote, which they always say, like, well, I would never. Said the notion that we would try to cover for a powerful person is deeply offensive to all of us.
Okay, I actually would like to read another one of Oppenheim's quotes that I thought was super interesting. Let's go to graphic 8. According to Huffington Post reporting on this, two sources familiar with the production told Huffington Post that Oppenheim made the final decision not to include a Weinstein story in the broadcast, telling staff that Weinstein wasn't a nationally recognizable figure.
We're done with that, okay? So that is a preposterous claim. What? You didn't run it up to the head of news and you didn't run it up to the CEO because he's not a nationally recognized figure. You ran it up to them because he is a nationally recognized figure. We're having a debate about that. The guy commits sexual harassment. It is 20 news 24/7 for the last week. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't a nationally recognized figure and he was like some random teacher somewhere, you think the story was, I mean, that is a preposterous claim. So when you make that claim, we realize what your intent was. Your intent was, I don't want to upset the powerful, which by the way is NBC 101.
Wow, it's just so pathetic and so embarrassing.
Yeah, and look, they do this at MSNBC with the Democratic Party. Don't upset people in power. And then when Trump comes into office, what do? They hired half a dozen right-wing hosts immediately. Don't upset people in power. So if NBC does anything at all, it is to not upset people in power. So Oppenheim's quote there is the most ironic, hilarious, and hypocritical quote I've ever seen in news. So just own up to what happened here, and it ain't pretty.
All right, we got to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, there was a foiled terrorist plot that you probably haven't heard anything about. I wonder why. I'll give you the details.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Anyway, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Member shout outs are Andrew Mann. We were just laughing about something during the break. I know, Anna's the Grinch that wants to steal Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween sucks.
Did you ever go trick-or-treating? Or were you one of those kids who was like, who needs candy? That's just gonna give us cavities.
No, yeah, I went trick-or-treating. Yeah, going door to door begging people for candy. Yeah, I did it.
Check, yeah, I did it. Begging people for candy. I guess that's what amuses these young kids these days. All right, anyway. Andrew Mann and Gene Stewart are our members of the day. You guys support independent media, thank you. And you get all the network shows ad free, including the post game and Aggressive Progressive tonight. I want to tell you, I believe we're going to have Matt Atchity on for the post game today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out who Matt is. Okay, so we do our little grilling. So Matt is on What the Flick. He's now our head of programming. So that's kind of fun. I'm going to find out what he did in high school, what his backstory is. Those are always great. If you're a member, don't miss that. TYTnetwork.com/join. And then a couple of quick tweets for you guys. Old Turk, I don't know if this tweet is acceptable in this day and age, but writes in, Anna is full librarian today. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm not offended by that.
All right, God bless. Neither am I. Okay, thank you, Old Turk.
I feel like I look like a little bit of a cowboy or a little cowgirl.
Yeah, no.
How to partners?
You're definitely, you're a librarian in southwestern Texas. That's where you are. Okay.
Fun.
Okay. Art Murray, you're the only one there. I'm just kidding, southwestern
Texas.
Just kidding. Art Murray says that NBC blocked the Weinstein story is the least surprising news item of the day. And Xenophrenia says, not me, he or she says, so NBC News, NBC, you nixed two stories about sexual abuse of women by powerful men. Who there is abusing women? I didn't say it.
Damn.
I didn't sanction it. Okay, yeah. I'm just telling you that's what the tweeter machine gave me there. Okay. All right. What's next?
All right. Last Friday, there was a terrorist plot that was luckily foiled at an airport in North Carolina. Now, none of us heard about it. It never made the news cycle. It never made headlines until recently when The Intercept unraveled the case. Now, Sean King reported on this, and I'm happy that he did because it gives you a sense of why it is that some stories tend to go viral and others don't. Now, the person who attempted to bomb the airport in North Carolina was Michael Christopher Estes. There he is. According to reports, the security footage from the Asheville Regional Airport in North Carolina showed a man walking through the front doors wearing black clothing and a black cap while carrying a bag. Based on a review of the video, the individual walked near the entrance to the terminal, went out of sight momentarily, and was then seen departing the area without the bag. And that's according to the criminal complaint that's been filed against Estes. Now, what investigators eventually found in that bag was ammonium nitrate fuel-only explosives that, according to the criminal complaint, have been used in a number of terrorist-related incidents around the world. So when this comes into contact with a flame or other ignition source, it explodes violently. He even added nails or ball bearings this device to increase the devastation inflicted by the explosion. Okay, and keep in mind that this is not, we suspect that this guy might have done. No, they had the bomb, and luckily they were able to disarm it. Before disarming it, authorities discovered the alarm attached to it was scheduled to go off at 6 in the morning, just as a fresh round of travelers was scheduled to arrive at the airport. This guy is a terrorist. And if you think that there needs to be some sort of ideological thing behind it, well, there is. The man openly admitted to authorities that he was preparing to fight a war on US soil and that this bomb was but one part of that war.
Okay, so let's break this down. Number one, I want to give credit. I want to give credit to airport security. Wonderful job of catching that guy, man. They see him in black. They somehow figure out that maybe they should question him. I want to give credit to the bomb sniffing dog. In a lot of years of covering news, I've never seen a bomb sniffing dog actually work. Okay, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do from time to time, but not a lot of those stories.
Such a canine hater.
Okay, no, but in this case, great job with your canine unit. And I want to give credit to the authorities who have arrested him and are prosecuting them. Okay, so that's great because we stopped it and people didn't die. Okay, now to the discredit. One more piece of credit to The Intercept that consistently does wonderful stories like this. And Sean King, who's also, by the way, a TYT contributor. And you can see his videos on youtube.com/TYTpolitics. Okay, now to the discredit and the heart of the story. Come on, guys. Again, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're independent, right winger, liberal. It doesn't matter at all. You know that if a guy who was Muslim was stopped at an airport in North Carolina and was going to blow up travelers in North Carolina, and he had a bomb with nails in it and ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, and said he was going to start a war in America. Wall to wall coverage, nonstop Donald Trump tweets, all the news crews are there, etc. And this terrorism is directed against civilians and has either political or religious ideology. This fits perfectly. It's a white terrorist, and all of a sudden, nothing. That's amazing. It's amazing the hypocrisy and the difference in the coverage. One more thing. They said, well, you know, some might say, well, it was foiled, so that's probably why it's not that big a story. Wait a minute. The shoe bomber was foiled, and we still take off our shoes at airports.
That's right.
Because of that one foiled plot from decades ago. The underwear bomber was foiled, and everybody knows who the underwear bomber was. Anna, do you remember if those guys were white Americans or if they were brown Muslims?
I don't know if I remember, Jen. Can you remind me?
Oh yeah, they were brown Muslims. And those foil plots affected us for decades because of what happened. And now there's nothing.
I just want us to stop turning a blind eye to individuals that do want to cause harm. That's not to take away from investigations into Muslim-related terrorism. I just want people to stop pretending like people like Estes doesn't exist. He exists. He has an ideology. He wanted to cause severe harm to people. He wanted to start a war on US soil. This is the kind of stuff that should be investigated. And I'm so grateful that airport security did their due diligence and they followed up on this and luckily foiled it. No one got hurt. But you know, the country, the government, unfortunately, does not see non-Muslim right-wing terrorism as a threat. They think it's a non-threat, but it is a threat. This is something that we should be very concerned about. We should be investigating. We should have a portion of the Department of Homeland Security specifically focusing on this type of terrorism as well. We turn a blind eye to it for racial reasons, and that is absurd, okay? We should keep Americans safe regardless of the race of the perpetrators.
Now let's turn their logic around on them. Why won't you name it? Name it and it'll go away. Here, I'm going to do it for you. It's right-wing radical extremists, okay? And so if you just name it, I hear that, oh, by the way, that's why terrorism has stopped under Trump, right? Because all you had to do was have the president name it. So why won't Trump do it? I mean, look, I'm tired of all those things. You know that the right-wingers are total, gigantic hypocrites. They don't actually care about keeping us safe. We do. You think we go through these airports? You think we want Muslim extremists to bomb the airports? No, we're in the airports. Our families are in the airports. We don't want anyone bombing the airports. We also don't want right-wing extremists blowing up airports. The other side's like, well, one's really bad and should be a national emergency we should all rally around. The other one, who cares?
But think about this, like just to put everything into context. Think about the fact that whenever we accept refugees from Muslim majority countries, the vast majority of those refugees are women and children who have been vetted. They've been vetted so closely, and there is no evidence to indicate that these refugees are going to come in and cause any type of harm to anyone. But we will ban them from coming into the country while we simultaneously refuse to investigate homegrown terrorism like this. Okay, so this guy that tried to bomb an airport, he poses an imminent threat to Americans, okay? And there are others out there like this. I'm not trying to fearmonger, I hate fearmongering, but at the same time, we see this happening time and time again, and we have an imbecile running the country who just refuses to acknowledge that when it comes to terrorist plots, in a lot of cases, race or religious affiliation doesn't matter, okay? There are extremists of all shapes, sizes, and colors.
And when it comes to Islam, a lot of people lose their minds. And it's not just people on the right. There are some people who claim to be on the left who also are like, well, it's, hey, why can't you realize it's only the Muslims? And whenever there's a story of a non-Muslim doing it, they're like, don't cover it, don't cover it. No, what do you mean? Nobody saw it. Nobody saw it because nobody covered it. So, okay, look, last thing, Donald Trump. While he's obsessed with the real issue in America, of NFL players exercising their First Amendment right by taking a knee, which you do when you're praying. I mean, so this is the big issue in America. Meanwhile, there was a terrorist caught trying to bomb and murder all those people in North Carolina, and not a peep, not one word, because he doesn't care about terrorism. He cares about demagoguery, he cares about bigotry, and so those are the things that he constantly pushes. We gotta ban the Muslims, we gotta keep out the Mexicans, we gotta punish the blacks who are speaking their minds. And those guys in Puerto Rico, do they really need any help? I mean, they didn't help themselves at all. Oh, things are actually in danger? There was a guy who was gonna blow up an airport? Who cares? Not interesting. It doesn't help me with my demagoguery and bigotry. Mm-hmm. That's Donald Trump for you guys. And unfortunately, the rest of the press aid and abet that when they don't cover important stories like this, and whenever there is an equal and similar story that involves a minority, they go ballistic over it. Give them the equal coverage. We don't ask for anything else. It's not too much to ask for if you're in news and call yourself a reporter.
All right. The state of Louisiana is finally undergoing some reforms when it comes to its criminal justice system. And there's one sheriff who has been extremely outspoken against these reforms. Sheriff Steve Prater of Caddo Parish, Louisiana. Now, he's concerned because nonviolent offenders could potentially get released early. And they would also be they wouldn't be prosecuted as harshly under these reforms. And the reason why the sheriff's not happy about this is, well, these nonviolent offenders provide slave labor for us. And so what are we gonna do if we can't have that slave labor in our state? If you don't believe me, just take a listen.
Place out there, I don't want state prisoners, okay? They are a necessary evil to keep the doors open, that we keep a few or keep some out there. And that's the ones that you can work. That's the ones that can pick up trash, the work release programs. But guess what? Those are the ones that they're releasing. In addition to the bad ones, and I call these bad, in addition to them, they're releasing some good ones that we use every day to wash cars, to change oil in our cars, to cook in the kitchen, to do all that where we save money. Well, they're going to let them out.
Oh, it's unbelievable. He's complaining about releasing the good ones. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Okay, so there's two ways of interpreting this guy's statements about the good ones, okay? Mm-hmm. One is, well, they're good guys and they should be out of prison, but they wash my car and I use them to be my, cooks and stuff, so I don't
want slave labor.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
I enjoy continuing to imprison nonviolent offenders for lengthy periods of time because they provide slave labor for me.
The other thing is not much better. He might mean the good ones as in the ones who will do what they're told to do, okay? The ones that do my work. The other ones, they're not broken. We haven't broken them in sufficiently.
What a disgusting individual. We're talking about people's lives, right? We're talking about people who already have their lives destroyed because they were convicted of a felony, a nonviolent conviction, okay? And oftentimes it has to do with drugs, something that, you know, wasn't there a video recently released of like the Dolphins coach snorting lines of coke? Does he deserve to be in prison? Should we throw him in prison and make him do slave labor? Oh, but that's a white dude in power who's got some money, so we don't want to mess with him. But there's a bunch of people who have no power whatsoever, and it's totally fine to keep them behind bars, destroy their lives, and force them to do slave labor so this sheriff could live his cushy little life. It's disgusting.
But Anna, who's gonna wash my car and cook my
wash your own goddamn car.
Are you expecting me to do my own labor? Now remember, the blacks are lazy. But who's gonna do all my work for me if I can't unjustly imprison people who aren't violent?
We imprison more people than any other country in the world while simultaneously boasting about being the land of the free. No, we love throwing people in prison for nonviolent offenses, okay? Whether it's drugs or, you know, in some cases, if a woman is unlucky enough to miscarry or have a stillborn in a red state like Mississippi, we'll throw them in prison if they've ever had any history of drug use. I mean, there's all sorts of disgusting stuff that happens in this country, and it's because there is a profit motive, okay? There's a huge profit motive by private prison industries and by, you know, people like this sheriff. It's easy to go after nonviolent offenders rather than go after the real criminals, and it's easy to get that free slave labor.
Look, there's great documentary of the 13th, but there's many other things that have been written about this. And right now there are more African Americans in prison than there were black males in slavery at its height. So there's a line that is perpetuated. That was bad. There's a line of history that goes through, and the 13th does a great job. It's a documentary on Netflix that you should watch that explains once this slavery was ended, they had to figure out a different way to still have free labor and to enslave people and keep them down. And one of the excuses they found was drugs. Now, we've told you the stat many times because it is really illustrative. Blacks and whites do drugs at the same rate in America, marijuana specifically. Blacks get arrested at 4 times the rate. Now, not necessarily for dealing, not necessarily for anything along those, possession, okay? Why? Because local sheriffs need their cars washed and they'd like to have a cook and they'd like to have their oil changed. So they were used to having other people do their work for them because they're lazy racists. So now they think, okay, good, we found a new legal way of enslaving people. Now when they say you want to let go of the good ones, no, the good ones are the ones that do all my work for me.
And then putting black police officers behind him during this press conference, he's so disgusting. He really genuine, like he is bottom of the barrel when it comes to people in America. To be boastful about making the good ones do this type of labor. These people have families. They might have kids. And by the way, if the racial angle doesn't matter to you whatsoever, you don't care, okay. But you're mistaken if you think this doesn't affect everyone. Of course, it disproportionately affects minorities. But the reality is, again, when there's a profit motive, if you're powerless, you could be targeted for this kind of nonsense, for a nonviolent drug offense.
Yeah, they're gonna steamroll you, man. So if somebody's gonna make a buck off of it and you got no power, yes, as Anna said, blacks get affected more, but whites also get affected. You're poor in Louisiana, you think this guy's gonna have any sympathy for you? No, he's gonna say, oh, there's another good one. I could use him for some of my labor too. Nobody's ever gonna fight back because they're poor, middle class.
You know, he could really use someone who could help him out with his suit situation because it is unacceptable, okay? I just needed to get that out. I know that is a petty point, but it needs to be said.
It had to be said and it was said. All right, what's next?
I'm gonna do something fun. Let's move on to the stretching story.
Oh, okay? Go, yes.
All right, stretching story, let's do it. People with money are spending $36 an hour to stretch. Okay, we're not talking about yoga. We're talking about like this new workout like thing that's happening in the country where people who refer to themselves as flexologists will stretch you. Okay, so let me give you more details. The number of stretching studios and fitness center classes with stretch in the name has doubled in the past 2 years. That's according to MindBody Inc. It's a company that manages online bookings for workout classes and things like that. Another example is a company known as Stretch Zone, and it's a chain of 39 locations, but they are now joining with LA Fitness, which has 700 gyms, to create a program known as Stretch by LAF or LAF. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter.
LA Fitness?
Yeah, LA Fitness. Okay. Just go to a yoga class and shut up.
It's
called yoga.
Or just stretch on your own. I don't know.
I know, I'm being too negative, I feel like. But
no, it's not too negative. No,
$36 an hour?
No. I want to correct you.
$36 an hour for that.
I want to make sure that we do our journalism right. It's $36 for half an hour. Okay, so I want to give you guys
context.
Did
I misread it?
Yes, $36 half an hour.
Oh my God, he's right.
Okay, because you can't believe your eyes, right? So when I was a law student, I was so psyched when I got my first part-time law job because it paid a number I had never seen in my life before. It paid $25 an hour. Now remember, my dad used to pay me $2 an hour to do construction, right? Okay, so like $25, I'm rich, okay? This is $72 an hour for stretching, helping you to stretch.
I know, but like that's the thing. Like people pay for anything to make themselves feel good or convince themselves that they feel good, because the reality is like you can stretch on your own, you can take a yoga class. Stretching is important, although there are some fitness experts that say that the benefits of stretching are overblown. I don't know. I'm not a fitness expert, so I don't want to get into that territory. However, I will say this. There are people out there who want to rip you off, right? I know this is like, again, I feel like I'm being too mean to these people, and I don't mean to be mean. Kind of. But like, come on, you're ripping people off, dude. $36 for half an hour of stretching?
Look, I don't begrudge them. If people want to pay, bless their hearts, okay? But at the same time, don't. Right? So I know what the benefits are. Now, you might think that I'm an ironic fitness expert. Okay. But listen, I've been stretching and doing exercise my whole life. I know my body doesn't show up. My doctors are shocked every time. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't understand why you're healthy. Okay, because I'm obviously not the body type for it, but I do exercise 4 times a week roughly, and I have for decades, right? And stretching is great. You really need to do stretching. And just this week, before I read the story, I was thinking like one of the upsides of me doing exercise so much is that I also get to stretch, and that really, really helps your body. If you don't exercise and you don't stretch, it's really a bad idea. You really should do it. But if all you do is stretch, like, and then you go sit back down on the couch, exercise.
I know. Okay. One person who takes these classes, I don't want to. Anyway, he says after doing these stretching classes, when I go to sleep at night, I feel like I went 4 rounds with Mike Tyson.
First of all, that's not a good thing. Okay.
Come on.
Second of all, no, you didn't. Okay. Stretching is an excellent start to your exercise. You have to actually keep going though. As you can tell, I'm not an exercise snob either. When I first started exercising, I walked for like quarter of a mile and I was like, I'm done. Okay.
You gotta start slow.
You gotta start somewhere.
Fine.
And if you wanna start with stretching, bless your heart. But then keep it going, okay? Do the actual exercise. All right, much love, guys. We got to go. We got a great post game for you with Matt Atchity. TRTnetwork.com/join. Bye-bye.